Welcome back. Hour number three. Mitchell Henderson is standing by, and Mitch, as usual, has a report for us all prepared about the state of the world, and watching the Ukraine situation is really nauseating, as usual. 30% of the weaponry and financial aid and other kinds of aids, materials, ammunition, whatever, are actually only making it to the front. The rest is being looted, sold off on the black market, and Zelensky and his pals are pocketing the money. That's your money, Americans, your money. And yet brain-dead, pedophile, communist Biden just keeps on shucking it over there. Nobody stops him. So who's running this country? It ain't us. It's the controllers. Hello, Mitchell. Welcome back.
Good evening, Jeff. So tonight I want to start off by dissecting a lie that the government told us this past week, okay?
Very good.
And I'm coming at this from a point of view. I used to be a homicide investigator, and in homicide, like the crime scene collects all your forensics and stuff and sets that up for you. So the homicide investigator really does interviews and interrogations, okay? And the more people talk, the more people say, the more holes you can poke in their story, okay? So it's all about, you know, detecting if they're lying by what they're saying. You know, does it hold water or not? Well, this story has so many holes in it that it does not hold water, okay? And it was on August 2nd in the New York Times. They had a long article that said a lot, okay? It said, U.S. drone strike kills key plotter of 9/11, Biden says. So the assertion, and I'm quoting from the New York Times, an American drone strike killed Ayman al-Zawahiri, a key plotter of the 9/11 terrorist attacks, who today, who took over as the leader of al-Qaeda after Osama bin Laden's death. Okay, so the first lie is that there has been ample and repeated evidence over the past 21 years to demonstrate that bin Laden and al-Zawahiri were not involved in the 9/11 plot and had no knowledge of it until after it happened. As a matter of fact, a journalist had even interviewed bin Laden, and he said, well, he didn't know about it until it happened. So that's what he said, okay? So the motive for the lies, it is so glaringly obvious that the CIA, MI6, and Mossad engineered the plot to attack the Twin Towers, and that any engineer could tell that the Twin Towers were brought down by our government. For example, why did Tower 7 implode perfectly like the two towers hit by planes when it was not hit by a plane? Our government never wants to admit that it killed over 3,000 Americans that day. Any engineer looking at those towers coming down know that that was a detonation job. It was not. It was
for
not
sure.
An attack. Okay.
Yep.
So the second lie. Okay. Mm-hmm. American intelligence agencies tracked down al-Zawahiri earlier this year in Kabul after following his wife and family from Pakistan. This begs the question, if they knew where al-Zawahiri was in Pakistan, why didn't they take him out there before they lost him again? So the third lie, Americans fired two Hellfire missiles and killed Mr. Zawahiri on a balcony of the house without killing anyone else, including members of his family. Given that, or any other civilians, okay? So, al-Zawahiri...
A Hellfire missile managed to take out one person and leave everyone else unharmed. That's cute.
Right. Uh-huh. So, al-Zawahiri was a fundamentalist Muslim, and the Taliban government is fundamentalist. In both cases, it is inappropriate for al-Zawahiri's family to leave the home without him. That's just not done. It's against the law in Afghanistan right now. If he was there, his family would be there too. Okay, the Taliban, with no motive to lie, said that the house was a vacant house. It actually belonged to an aide. It was owned by an aide to the Haqqani network. Okay, it was vacant. Nobody was there. Even Russian, Chinese, and Israeli intelligence doubt that al-Zawahiri was there. Also, a friend of mine that digs in-depth research, found five previous claims by America that al-Zawahiri was dead. This makes the sixth time we killed him. Okay? The New York Times spelled out the motive by saying, quote, "The death of one of America's most vocal enemies after a long and maddening search was a major victory for Mr. Biden at a time of domestic political trouble." Okay? So they even told the motive. They even spelled out the motive for them telling this lie. This explained everything. It is such a big lie. To boost Democrats, Marxist Democrats, to help them in the elections that they're going to rig in a couple months, okay? Well, it'll help them cover up the rigging of the election. They'll say, oh, yeah, people, his numbers went up and stuff, you know. The New York Times went on, this success in targeting and killing him without American boots on the ground will bolster Mr. Biden's argument that the United States can still wage war against terrorist organizations without the major deployment of ground forces that characterized the first two decades after September 11th. Okay, so the lie is to cover the pedophile Marxist Biden's worst foreign policy disaster so far, the U.S. defeat in Afghanistan. So the New York Times continues, the strike was an important achievement for Mr. Biden, whose unpopularity in the polls had jeopardized his party's chances in midterm elections this fall. Any police investigator would immediately see this as the motive for the lie. I mean, I almost think that the New York Times wanted us to see that this was nonsense, you know? So the fourth lie, an analyst said that pictures of the strike posted on social media suggested a strike by a Hellfire missile armed with long blades aimed at killing targets with kinetic energy to minimize major collateral damage. This is a woke person's dream, okay? We threw a knife at him from a Predator drone. What nonsense.
Oh,
okay?
My.
I asked an Air Force technicians in the know. They have never heard of something so absurd. They said that the accuracy of such a delivery would just not happen. Okay, you can't throw a knife from a drone and hit somebody.
This is embarrassing. It's that
yes,
bad.
Yes, it is embarrassing. Okay, you'd think for all the money that they take from us that they could lie better than they do. Okay, at least. Okay.
That's
so the New
funny.
York Times said that al-Zawahiri was always standing alone on the balcony of his house. Okay.
Well, that's so the satellites could get a good look at him, right? They want to make sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure. So, and he was still standing there when they fired the Hellfire missile, you see.
Right.
So the most wanted person on Earth with a $25 million bounty on his head stands all of the time on his balcony in full view of anyone. This is not an average human behavior. Al-Zawahiri did not evade capture by letting his guard down, letting people just see him standing out in the open. The New York Times admits, quote, inside Mr. Zawahiri's death will most likely have little impact on the franchise, day-to-day operations, counterterrorism experts said. In other words, it did not really matter if he was killed or not. The lie was a no-risk political gain, is all it amounts to. I mean, it's just full of hoes. It's absurd what they're trying to get us to believe, you know?
Well, unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there, Mitch, who will just let this go right on by. They don't care. They don't think.
That's true.
And they take it. They just take it. Crazy. Embarrassing.
Yeah.
Oh, my. That's an understatement. It's shameful. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it just doesn't hold water at all. Okay, so let me get on to China. There's lots to hear here. So the same week that Speaker Pelosi went to Taiwan, the G20 Economic Summit was held there. Bloomberg News reported that half of the G20 nations revolted against U.S. pressure on Russia. These countries included Argentina, Brazil, China, India, Indonesia, Mexico, Russia, of course, Saudi Arabia, South Africa, and Turkey. Okay, Bloomberg said that this was a distrust of former colonial powers as a factor. Well, it sure was, but Speaker Pelosi's visit was to put China in its place. Only the U.S. knows what is important, and I say that sarcastically, okay? Yes, it is a factor, colonialism, but it clearly shows that the world is fracturing on a fault line between the West and the rest. In 1990, Japan was set to become the largest economy in the world. So a Japanese politician wrote a book called, quote, "The Japan That Can Say No." He meant say no to America. We are witnessing the development of a world that can say no, okay? As a point of reference, did we the government telling us to get a vaccine or lose our job? Well, the rest of the world does not want to obey the pedophile Marxist regime either. Do you blame them? Consider this. 3 years ago, the President of the United States or the Secretary of State of the United States called a foreign president or foreign minister, they would certainly pick up the phone. Under this administration, lots of countries will not pick up the phone to talk to the President of the United States. He is disrespected everywhere. He is made a mockery of America, okay? He makes us look really bad, okay? So,
He makes it
like a...
Mitch,
yes.
What he has achieved in terms of disgracing what was once passably the most magnificent culture, nation, on the face of the earth is astounding. The guy has... I don't know. I don't know how to quantify it with words. It's that bad. What he has done, he might as well, honest to God, gone out of the White House lawn, dropped his drawers, and relieved himself.
Yes.
He couldn't have done much worse.
No,
think about it.
He couldn't.
And I don't mean to be gross, but this man is despicable.
Well, yes, he is. You know, it's like and Tony Blinken. You know, he's one of the Santa's 12 reindeer, I think. He's our Secretary of State. He was going to call Foreign Minister Lavrov.
Probably a gay reindeer. He's a gay reindeer.
Yeah, he would not pick up the phone, though. Okay. So at the G20 meeting, Secretary Blinken made a delusional and Orwellian statement, quote, "China should not use the Pelosi visit as a pretext for war." What an idiot. Chairman Xi told Chairman Biden that if Pelosi visited Taiwan, it would be a pretext for war. Okay, that's what we told them, okay? He told us, okay? Blinken should have taken China seriously, okay? Russian Foreign Ministry Lavrov said at the same meeting, he said, the visit was a sign of Washington's aggressive policy aimed at the all-encompassing containment of China. Our American colleagues demonstrate permissiveness for them to for themselves in international affairs. Every time they try to assert their dominance in the new places, okay, the Americans have taken the course of suppressing any independence. In the case of Speaker Pelosi's visit to Taiwan, American is going back on their own principles when they proclaimed publicly that they proclaimed publicly, okay? The visit of Speaker Pelosi was a serious violation of the One China policy and an infringement on China's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Okay, so Russia's got China's back in this, okay? In the past, I remarked that China sees war differently than we do. We say war is the continuation of diplomacy by other means. China says diplomacy is the continuation of war by other means. So it's just the opposite. China has been at war with us since 1949. We don't get to define what war is to them. Okay, what did China do after Speaker Pelosi's visit? They broke diplomatic relations.
Cut off diplomatic
on all
relations.
Subjects except at the ambassadorial level.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the beginning of a shift from diplomacy to war. Okay, Secretary Blinken said in Manila that China should talk to us. I think that the talking is over because we did not listen to Chairman Xi. What is there to talk about if one party refuses to listen? I told you previously that China's plan was to blockade Taiwan. They have officially embargoed Taiwan, and China has put military drills right up to Taiwan's coast. Well, they're up to the 12-mile limit off the coast, okay? They had fired missiles over Taipei. Taiwan complains that this has blockaded their west coast, whether intended or not, okay, including air travel. It's unsafe for air travel there. I went to Taiwan in the early 70s when I was in the Army in Asia. Okay, so The west coast facing China is a flat plain with major harbors and stuff like that, okay? The east coast of China is a rocky coast with cliffs and mountains on it. So there's no ports there. You can't just go down to the beach.
No beaches for landing craft, nothing.
No, it's just rocks, okay? So it's not a place where you would want to put anything, okay? So when weather permits, China will blockade the East Coast too, but it has already effectively blockaded Taiwan as of Speaker Pelosi's visit. Since the UN recognizes Taiwan as a part of China, this blockade is not legally an act of war, okay? Xi Jinping has placed maximum political stakes on reunification. China has made clear this to the current military drills in the Taiwan Straits is a rehearsal for its, quote, unification by force operation. That's what they're going to call it. The pedophile Marxist Biden regime calls it a significant escalation in China's efforts to change the status quo. That is a gross understatement. Okay, Beijing and Moscow are leading the resistance against the morally decadent West. He no longer will the world accept the West dictating anything to them. The horrific failures of the pedophile Marxist Biden regime just continue to mushroom out of control. China is building its logistical trains across the in Fujian province, across the Strait of Taiwan, for the invasion. We can expect to see it happen in September before the Communist Party of China elections in October. China is in an economic and social crisis, as well as political crisis. Chairman Xi must attack if he is to keep the Communist Party in mainland China united. So he doesn't really have a choice if he wants to get reelected. He has to do this now. And we gave him the reason to do it, okay? Because
sure
we,
yeah.
You know, just think about this. Think about the implications of this. 6 months from now, we may be able to say that what Speaker Pelosi did cost millions of people their lives. And she is so arrogant that she would not even consider the life of even the Taiwanese people that she was going to visit. So she provoked this thing out of arrogance, you know. So this is what you have when you have woke leadership. They think that their delusional woke world is the way everybody should think and that everybody should just accept it. Well, you know what? Most people just don't accept it. It's just not the way most people are. Okay.
They're the perfect visible custodians for the annihilation and destruction of this country. Think
oh, yes.
about it.
Yes, they're perfect for it. I mean, it's like if there was history books after this, they'll talk about how the Biden regime destroyed the United States of America just single-handedly, just out of ignorance and arrogance. The arrogance is just overwhelming, you know. I mean, we listened to that demented old pedophile talking, and you know, I can't even stand to hear him talk. You know, it's not even him; people are whispering in his ears what to say and stuff.
Correct.
He's like a puppet, but he's like the worst possible puppet that you could put up there. Okay, he's an embarrassment to our country. So let's go on to Russia. Okay, the EU is starting to ban travel by Russian citizens to their country. Zelensky is egging this on, saying everybody should ban Russians from traveling to their country. Because Zelensky said so? I don't know why. Russia has said bluntly that if the U.S. Congress passed a bill designating Russia as a state sponsor of terrorism, that Russia will break diplomatic relations with the USA, meaning that a declaration of war will follow soon thereafter, okay?
As it should be. That's exactly, yeah. Mitch, that's what should yeah. happen. And I think yeah. ultimately this has already made Russia a stronger, better, more self-reliant, I think more pride of nation. They've withstood the biggest slings and arrows and economic bombs that the West can throw at them, and they're thriving. That's
yes,
pretty neat. That is pretty darn
fine.
Neat. Yeah.
As I mentioned last time, at how much Russia has improved since Biden came into office. I mean, a 10-time jump in national income and personal income between 1999, when Putin took over, and 2013. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So since 2014, they've been preparing for this sanctions war. Okay. So yesterday, the president of Finland warned that the faltering EU economy will cause disunity in NATO. Now he gets it. Russia worked very hard for 8 years to become a sanction-proof. And they are getting the war in Ukraine. They're letting it simmer as it destroys the economy of the West. It is a self-imposed damage. Moody's has downgraded three EU nations already, which means that if they try to get any loans, they have to pay more money for those loans. Okay, so it is hurting their economy very bad right now. So Turkey has increased trade with Russia, actually doubling since the war started. The U.S. sanctioned Turkey for buying S-300 Russian anti-aircraft missiles, so that the Turks consequently the Turks refused to sanction Russia. NATO is falling apart. They are even blinking on sanctions. Backing down from the pedophile Marxist Biden regime wanted
Got
to
it.
Do. It's like they're buying oil. They're the EU backed down. The UK backed down on providing. They said they will provide insurance for Russian shipping and aircraft and stuff, because not doing so would hurt their economy. Okay, very bad. Okay, so Russia prepared themselves for this for 8 years. They were ready to go. We were totally unprepared. I mean, at a time when our economy is already tanking, Biden imposes these sanctions, which hurts us and hurts our allies. It doesn't hurt Russia at all. It has helped India, China, and other countries immensely. Okay, but it hasn't helped. It hasn't hurt Russia at all. Okay, so next, let me talk about the Ukraine. Okay. I have been reporting for months now that the weapons we send to Ukraine are being sold to the black market by the corrupt Ukrainian officials, and that is Ukrainian government is committing war crimes on a large scale. Mainstream media refused to report this. Now things have changed. CBS News reported this week that only 30% of what we send to Ukraine actually made it to the front lines. They reported that to get the weapons to the front lines, they must go through power lords, oligarchs, and political players. We have given these people $40 billion so far out of $60 billion. This is $40 billion to the crooks alone, okay, that we sent, okay? Amnesty International has said this also. Yet Marxist Democrats and the Republican lackeys absolutely refuse to impose oversight on weapons shipments. Okay, CBS actually bowed to Ukrainian pressure and pulled that article from social media. Okay.
I saw that.
But Amnesty and International reported last week that Ukraine officially and systematically violates international humanitarian law and endangers civilians with impunity. The U.S. asked them to back out, but they absolutely stand by their claims and will not backtrack on anything that they said. They're standing by the report, okay? So Ukrainian forces are searching door-to-door for Russian collaborators in Ukraine. I've seen this repeatedly. They go and torture one neighbor to implicate their other neighbors. Then they summarily execute their neighbors, okay? This is how this is done, okay? Ukrainian mayors would like aid sent directly to them because the Ukrainian government steals it all. This is what they said, okay? Ukrainians are helping Russia because they hate their corrupt Ukrainian government. Last week, Russia destroyed 45,000 tons of ammunition. It also hit five other ammo depots. As soon as Ukrainians see it, they report it to the Russians right away. Okay? So none of this should come as a surprise to listeners of the Jeff Rentz Show. Okay? Our government does not want you to hear the truth about anything, but you have on this show.
No, sir.
You have heard
not
for
a
months
chance.
These same things that CBS just now reported. Okay, in Amnesty International. We've been saying it for a long time. And now,
so who controls the communist broadcasting system, folks? Figure it out. Jeez.
Yeah, right.
Unreal.
Right.
They just caved in.
So U.S. Congresswoman Victoria Spars of Indiana is the only Ukrainian in the U.S. Congress. She consistently tells the truth about Ukraine and Zelensky. She has frustrated officials of the pedophile Marxist Biden regime. Fellow Republicans told CNN that they worry that her jabs at Ukraine will cause about massive corruption may undermine both Zelensky and the public, Zelensky's public image, and sour U.S.-Ukrainian relations, and complicates the approval of new aid packages. Well, it should. Okay, they say we have talked to her. It's pissing people off. Because she won't change course, okay? So truth hurts a cause. It hurts the cause, they say. It should, okay? Mm. Her biggest critic is Texas Republican Congressman Dan Crenshaw, a man I once respected, but now I see as a shill for the Marxists, okay? So the pedophile Marxist Biden regime had her meet with the National Security Council and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. They gave her a three-hour briefing at the National Security Council because they're trying to get her to shut up, right? Well, after the meeting with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, and the National Security Council, she did not back down at all. She still says the same thing. She says they didn't tell her anything that matters because, you see, she's Ukrainian. She has family in Ukraine. She knows what's going on there. She's been there five times since the war started. So who's she going to believe, her own eyes or their lies, you know?
Yep.
Which is it? Okay. So she stuck to the narrative and instead of the administration's lies. So Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia was also accused by Dan Crenshaw of being a Russian bot. Because she does not buy into the false narrative, she replied to Crenshaw. She said, "So you think we are funding a proxy war in Russia? You speak as if Ukrainian lives should be thrown away, as if they had no value, just used and thrown away." Okay, that was a good response and an appropriate response. Okay, the Ukrainian army began shelling a nuclear power plant in Zaporizhia.
That, by the way, is the biggest nuclear power plant in Europe. It has six reactors, and if they succeed in causing it to melt down, all of Donbass and everything east is going to be covered in radiation. That's what they're trying to do.
The Ukrainians themselves said that if they hit the thing, they can exterminate the people of Donbass and South Russia. Now, the United States has said that the military, the HIMARS missile system and stuff, that no missile hits any target unless it's approved by the U.S. military. This is as stupid as you can get. I mean, it's like we make a statement that no target is hit with HIMARS unless the U.S. military approves. So anything that these missiles hit is approved by the U.S. military. Directly in the war with Russia.
Yeah, we're in over our heads.
Yeah.
Let me ask a question: How many red lines do we have to cross before Putin will take the gloves off?
Well, I don't think there's very many red lines lost. We've crossed every red line. I think if they hit this nuclear reactor and cause a radioactive cloud to go over the Donbass and South Russia, there's no going back from that. Okay, Russia, that is an attack on the Russian people themselves, and Russia will respond harshly, I think, to this. I think I think we can see the button being pushed.
They're good. The Ukes are using HIMARS. They've renewed their attack on that key bridge, and they've already punched about, I don't know, half a dozen holes through it. They're attempting to repair it quickly. I just don't know how much patience we can expect Russia to have. I really don't. I think they're beyond it. I don't know why they're holding back. You'd think that they'd use thermobarics and just completely saturate an area where any potential Ukrainian troops are and take them out. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know. Diplomacy, taking it slow, grinding it out, that's nice. But at what cost? Ultimately, they say that they may have lost up to 75,000 dead, the Russians. We don't know. 50,000? I don't know. We'll never know for sure. I'm just amazed at the restraint that we continue to see. You there, Mitch? I hope we didn't lose him. We might have. All right, well, we'll get him back. But that issue about the nuclear power plant is real. It's extremely dangerous, and it's going to get worse. So I don't know what the West can do. We've ordered and advised, and we're training the Ukrainians how to attack that nuclear power plant. It's us. Oh, man. All right. Well, Mitch is back. I was just saying that we are involved in the bombing, the rocketing of that nuclear power plant, just like we're involved in the bombing of the bridge over Kherson. We're leading them. You're right. You just said it all. The American military is directing much, if not most, of the Ukrainian offensive. And if any of our weapons are used, the Americans must approve of the targeting. That's what I hear.
Well, if you remember earlier, I had reported that the American soldier in full uniform was seen, was talking in the Ukraine to social media. Okay, he was talking to a reporter. What is a uniformed American soldier doing in Ukraine right now? I mean, you know, he was a technician. He wasn't anybody big. He was just somebody who helps with artillery and missiles and stuff like that, targeting and whatnot. But he talked right on open air to everybody in the world, and he was there in Ukraine. So it's like, you know, what more does Russia need? I mean, they pretty much know that we are directly involved in that war. Okay?
Oh, they totally know. Yes. Agreed.
So all they're waiting for is they're just waiting for the next big miscalculation, okay? And then, boom, the gloves come off, okay? So we, all Americans, are in the hands of these delusional clowns in Washington, D.C., that think they know how to run the whole world and think they know better than the rest of the world what's good for them, okay? You know, the rest of the world is tired of that. Just as the New York Times had mentioned that, or it was Bloomberg News had said that it was anti-colonialism that made these 10 countries go against the U.S. at the G20 meeting, okay? The fact is, okay, colonialism is now over. Even neocolonialism is over. Nobody's going to listen to us anymore because, well, what do we have to offer them? Decadence? Insanity? I mean, what? You know, what are we trying to lead the world into? That we're trying to lead them into something that the rest of the world does not want. Okay?
Correct.
They don't want this woke government like this. I mean, listen, so just to give you some perspective, when I was a little kid, back in the 50s and 60s, they had all this anti-communist propaganda that was out. And, and I remember distinctly one thing that they said is that the communists wanted to tear down the old and build up the new. Okay. Now tell me, what is the difference between that statement and build back better? What's the difference?
Or woke revisionism. Either way,
yeah,
you got
revisionism.
It. You nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you nailed it. Sure.
So 100%. It is. This is communism. I mean, the man ran his election campaign based on build back better, which is saying the same thing as tear down the old and build up the new. Okay.
Precisely.
So, you know, if people haven't figured out that we have a communist dictator in charge, well, they ought to get the picture pretty soon. Listen, for example, Hillary Clinton, she took all kinds of classified documents home, and she had them on her cell phone, classified documents. And, you know, a cell phone in your home computer is not secure, okay? But nothing was said about that. And today, they went and raided, the FBI went and raided Trump's Mar-a-Lago home because they said, well, he took classified documents with him to the Mar-a-Lago place, okay? So what are they doing? They're fishing for something to bust him for. They're doing like Zelensky does, and they're going to put their political opposition in jail, okay? That's the best they can do because they know that they're losing. They have lost the American people already. Okay, their approval rating is abysmal. The approval rating that they do have, you know, those are the people from the mental asylum that they questioned, you know, about whether they approve their policies or not. Okay, so you know, it's like. You know, it's like we're seeing everything come full circle. You know, I mean, I saw this thing back in the 80s. This guy named Barisimov had made a video talking about how communism will bring down the United States. And if you listen to what he says and you look at what's happening now, it is exactly what he said was going to happen. He said this 40 years ago, and we're living it right now, you know.
Boy, you're right, Mitch. Totally right. That bridge that is under attack is called the Antonovsky Bridge.
Yes.
And the Russians had it already repaired, and they were getting ready to open it. But the Ukes shelled it again last night, so they had to postpone it. Meanwhile, the Russians have put a pontoon bridge across the river. They've got a picture of it here, and it is brilliantly designed. Even if it's hit by a Ukrainian shell, because the pontoons themselves are barges, they won't sink. They'll just keep putting up pontoon bridges all day long if they need them. This is all nuts. This has to stop. This has to be dealt with. But the big story over here in terms of media, dear friends, CBS caves into Ukrainian pressure on weapons revelations.
And censored themselves. Because Zelensky told them to.
Yep.
Now your freedom of speech is curtailed by Zelensky. Okay, he runs the press in America. The press in America doesn't run the press in America. Zelensky does. I mean, they even demanded that.
That's not an exaggeration, friends.
Down.
Yeah.
And Amnesty International is not going to back down. I mean, they have to have some, you know, they have to have some ability to have, you know, earn people's trust. So they can't be lying to people. When they make a report, they have to honestly report what they found. That's their bread and basket, okay? And they said Ukraine is doing war crimes, and the corruption is rife throughout the country. I mean, what Amnesty International says basically backs up what CBS says, but CBS backed down, whereas Amnesty International said, no, we're sticking by our story. This is the truth, and this is what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They mean it.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that it's not just Europe and NATO that's beginning to fracture, but even the media itself is starting to come out and say things that they would not say before. I mean, I almost feel vindicated because the mainstream media finally said what I've been saying for months and months.
Many months.
Yeah.
There's a war at CNN right now between Don Lemon and the new director of operations, who wants to bring CNN to a centrist news position. And Lemon is going crazy. He, you know, he's a woke psycho, and he wants nothing to do with it. So throw his ass out. CNN, go central.
Really?
Get you know, some audience
and,
back.
You're going to have some, you know, you have to ask him what's more important, integrity or continuing the false narrative that everybody already knows is false, okay?
False,
like,
destructive,
really
perverted, vile, despicable narrative. It's a communist narrative of abject morality destruction. It's what it is.
Oh, yes, 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 it is. It's like it's like we're so, you know, we're so morally decadent that we cannot see that what other countries fear about us mm-hmm. is they don't want to become like us. They are in dread of becoming like
Perfect
we are.
Point. Amen. You got it. When CBS pulls a documentary which reveals the truth that 70% of all the foreign weapons donated to Ukraine never make it to the front lines. They're siphoned off by the warlords and the oligarchs and Zelensky and sold for cash on the black market. These weapons are going to turn out to be, they're going to be found everywhere, all over the Middle East. They're going to pop up here. And you watch. Remember the, what was it? Doggone it, the name of the, when we sent all those rifles down to Mexico. What the hell was that called?
Oh, that was the Fast and Furious.
That's it.
Where we sent
our rifles
down and to trace them to the drug lords and use those to kill Americans.
Yes.
Well, we're going to see a repeat of that. This is Fast and the Furious on a much grander scale than what the Obama.
Look how much money. I'll bet Zelensky is a multi-billionaire by now.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Easy.
Well, you know,
from American
on
tax
an upbeat
dollars.
Note, if you want to make a good living, a good thing to do is go to Miami and become a real estate broker, because you're going to be able to sell all these mansions to Ukrainians when this war is over. There's going to be so many Ukrainian billionaires moving to Miami that you
it's
would
true.
Be flush with cash if you were in that business, you know.
Correct.
So. You know, this is the reality. Zelensky already has a mansion in Miami. Okay, so, you know, he's going to be followed by his cronies and stuff here pretty soon. So, the reports that I get from Ukraine is no matter what they say, the Ukrainian army is faltering bad. They are, uh-huh. they do not have good equipment. They do not have good training. And the training, like Sweden and these other countries, they want to train the Ukrainian soldiers. 10 days of training. Well, let me tell you, 10 days of training is nothing. Okay, to train an army, you need time to train them directly. You have to train the individual soldiers and then work up to squad, platoon, company, battalion, brigade, division. They all have to go through it. You got to do combined arms and mm-hmm. coordination of these things and stuff. So this is hard stuff to do. You can't train anybody in 10 days to fight a war. You just can't. Okay. As a matter of fact, Marshal Tukhachevsky of the Red Army, he had this saying, which we always used in the Armored Cavalry when I was in there. It was this. It was training hard, battle easy. Okay. That's what the Russian military lives off of, that saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Training hard, battle easy. They've trained their soldiers. As a matter of fact, the Russians tell me that the units they have in Ukraine now are not their best. They're actually they're not so good units. Okay, they put them down there to gain experience and get their act together. And so
they rotate
there's
them out.
Get your act together better than war does. And this Israeli defense analyst, he said that realistically, if Russia wanted to, they could take Ukraine in 2 weeks. The only reason they're not doing it is because they want these sanctions to destroy our economies. And it is happening. It is destroying our economies. Okay? So we are shooting ourselves in the foot, okay, by this sanctions virtue signaling that we're doing.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
the rest of the world's uh-huh. not buying it. I mean, half of the countries in the world just don't want to sanction anything. You know, they are tired of being sanctioned themselves for stupid little things. The virtue signaling on the State Department's behalf of, like, oh, well, this is a bad thing that you're doing, so we're going to have to sanction you. Well, the rest of the world is tired of that. Okay, they're tired of us. You know. Being up there preaching to them and telling them what to do. Well, they look at us and they see what a mess we are, and they wonder, well, okay, so we're supposed to obey this clown that's in office right now? And actually, in Ukraine, it is a clown who's in office. That was his job before he became president.
He's an utter pervert. Here, the Ukrainian government welcomed the CBS television news retraction of its documentary. The foreign minister of Ukraine declared, however, that the U.S. network had, quote, misled a huge audience by sharing unsubstantiated claims and damaging trust in supplies of vital military aid to a nation resisting aggression and genocide. What scum is over there?
Yes.
Just the worst.
Directly.
Oh, Mitch. Unreal.
They're the ones that are the bad guys. We're on the bad guys' side, you know.
Black is white.
Yeah.
Remember, black is white.
What, it's an inverted world. What is good is evil. What is evil is good, you know.
Yes, sir. All right, my friend.
And
talk to you next week.
People know it. We'll see you Tuesday. Tuesday night.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Okay.
Okay. Sounds
you
good.
Bet. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Mitchell Henderson. Okay. Yeah. Next week it'll be Tuesday for Mitch. Thank you for being here tonight. A lot of information, again, to think about. Hope it helps you keep a clear head and a sharp, in-focus understanding of what's happening around us, and it's not good. Take care. You still have some time to put food away. Talk to you tomorrow.